Last week, if you remember, by the way, Zach is last week was not able to be here because he'd been exposed to COVID. And this week he'd always planned to be on vacation, which he is. So I was originally only supposed to speak today. Jim was supposed to speak last Saturday at the prayer breakfast. And so I told Jim, I said, well, Jim, really, I've got a two-sermon series. And if it's okay with Zach, it's okay with you, I would like to do that two-sermon series. So last week, if you remember, I preached on the most read scroll in history. And my text was this. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 3. Do we begin again to command ourselves, Paul says to the church at Corinth? Or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you? Or letters of commendation from you? And then this is what he says. You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, Paul says, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us. And if you look at 1 Corinthians 3:5, you will see that these are people that Paul had led to Jesus. This is who he's talking to in 2 Corinthians. Ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. A letter was written to a particular individual and could have been on any topic in the ancient Near East. A letter was generally intended for a specific individual or a small group. That's why I said letters from you. Epistles to you, the church, letters from the church to me. Okay? So he separates it. An epistle, on the other hand, is also written in the form of a letter, but aimed at a broad audience. It was written on specific topics, and it can also be translated, send news. Sounds remarkably like the word gospel, doesn't it? Which means good news. We, the followers of Christ, are to be specific about our relationship with Christ. People should not have to wonder if we are Christian or not. Because, according to this scripture, we are filled with the Spirit of the living God. We are to be the senders of good news to all people we encounter. Not just one person or few. Our lives should be the broadcasters of the good news about knowing Jesus. And people, guys, this is where it hits home. And people should be able to read our lives like a book. They should be able to do that. Believe me when I say that book entitled You is exciting to read. The entire reason for being a follower of Jesus is showing others what a Christ-filled life looks like. And please always remember that you may be the only book about Jesus that some people are ever going to read. In this season of thanksgiving and thankfulness, it seems fitting for every one of us to think about a person you saw Christ in and wanted something in your life that you saw in their lives. Most people become Christian not in churches, but by seeing Christ in someone else's life. The question is this. What am I modeling for the world to see? and read by looking at my life. I ended last week. I beg you, let it be Jesus. Let it be Jesus. My topic this week, is in Jesus by faith and name. Now, this is going to be new to some of you. This can get to be pretty heavy theology, but you'll get it. You'll get it. Just listen and you'll get it. Since we realize that we are literally an epistle that others will read, I want to turn our attention to who and what we are in Jesus. I mean, just think about this. If I walked up to you, Steve, and I said, what are you in Jesus? I mean, you have to think about that for a minute, don't you? What are you in Jesus? I think probably 90% of us would say saved or loved, maybe. This would be a pretty good answer. But if I walk up to a single Christian individual and I just say, what are you in Jesus? I'm telling you, I'm going to get all different types of answers. Most of them will be true, or at least what they feel is true. But they may not be right. When you hear, what are we in Jesus, it sounds elementary. What are we in Jesus? Sounds pretty elementary, doesn't it? Until you dig into the specifics of what it means to be in Jesus. If we are going to be the only book about Jesus some will ever see or read, this is particularly important. It's particularly important. Don't you think? If we're going to be the only book about Jesus some will ever see or read, don't you think this is pretty important information? The Hebrew word for Jesus is Yeshua. The Hebrew word for God is Yahweh. It was so holy that God's people would not even speak it. If you think of the Holy Spirit, the word Holy Spirit there comes from the word pneuma, or air, a pneumatic pump, air. Yahweh's so holy that they wouldn't speak His name. So you know what it was? It was the sound of breath. Was the sound of breath, the breath of life that God breathed into you and you became a living soul. Yeshua, the Hebrew word, literal translation, God is salvation. Now this is where it can get a little heavy. So hold on, you'll get it. Isn't it interesting to know that Yeshua, which translated into the Greek as Jesus, was not always His name? Was not always His name. John 1:1 gives us His name before He came into the earth. And His name was simply the Word of God. And then in Revelation 19:13, and the very last chapter of Revelation, it says He's the Word of life. It says, and his name is called the Word of God. Think about this. He has only borne the name Jesus for a very short time. Why is it that he was given this name? Matthew 1:21 gives us the answer. The angel told the Virgin Mary, "You shall call him his name, Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." The Savior, Jesus. So important that you understand this. The Savior with a name, Yeshua, Jesus. I want you to think about this for just a minute. This claim has never been made by any other religion or philosophy that has ever existed. It's not how to live a better, more fulfilled life. It's not how to be a better person. But his name says this: you're a sinner, and you need a Savior. How revolutionary is that? When we die, we're going to go to heaven, we're going to go to hell, or be separated from God. You're going to come back as something else, maybe a cockroach. Or nothing at all is going to happen, the atheistic. Or you may just get sucked up into the universe, Buddhism. I've just given you five options. But I want to tell you something, and you need to hear this morning. You're not going to do them all. You're not going to do them all. There's one answer. It's like, what is 2 + 2? 4. Now you can argue with me all day that it's not 4, but the fact of the matter is it is 4. You can argue with me all day that H2O isn't water. Well, let's change that 2 to a 3. And my son-in-law, the doctor, told me, the minute you change that H2O, the sustainer of life, to H3O, you've just given me acid and it will kill me. We want absolutes in every part of our life. We want absolutes in mathematics and chemistry. Otherwise, we could have never sent a man to the moon. We could never have submarines under the ocean. All of this is based on absolutes. But when we come to Jesus, we want him to be whatever we want to make him out. Ask a guy last week. I said, if you ask me how to get back to Denver, and I said this, just got here, find a road, just down it till you get there. I said, you literally look at me like I had gone nuts. And I said, you know why? Because you could barely, very, very easily be on the wrong road. And you never. Some people, all roads lead. It's not what Jesus said, and that's not what his apostles taught or believed. Jesus said, I am the way. He did not say, I am a way. And the apostles preached it and believed it. Our cultural now, we just, well, you know. Have you ever heard anybody that's lost somebody on television? I don't care who, the movie star. And they talk about this person, could have been the most vile person in the world. I'll guarantee you people have said something about Hugh Hefner like, well, he's looking down on us now. I don't believe that. I think he's probably looking up going, I wish I had have looked up when I was on the earth. I've never heard a single person talk about anybody that said, you know, he was vile and he went to hell.
But without Jesus, that's exactly what's going to happen. Hell simply means a separation from God. Why would you want to live with God for eternity if you couldn't stand Him while you were on this earth? If you hated His people, you hated His book. You hated His word. You certainly weren't going to sing a song about Him. Why would it be heaven to you to make you worship that guy forever if you hated Him? It'd be hell to you to have to worship that guy that you hated while you were on this earth.
Jesus was not His inherent name, nor His name from the beginning. In the beginning, there was no sin, no darkness, no fall, no crisis, no brokenness, no judgment, no death, and absolutely no need for salvation. That's John 17, by the way. Truly, the Lord's Prayer. The one He prayed to God, His Father. So for His name to be Savior for the beginning of the world, from the beginning, would make no sense. Think about it. His name is Jesus because of us. Because of our need to be saved. Every time His name is spoken, it proclaims His name is joined to us. We're the ones that needed the Savior. We are in His name forever. It is a salvation of us that His name declares. He will save His people from their sins. When you receive Jesus, when He becomes your salvation, then everything is complete. And according to Revelation 1, verse 5 and 6, and Revelation 22, 16. Boy, this one hit me hard last night when I was, or day before yesterday, when I was putting this sermon together. This is the one that hit me the hardest. Jesus has chosen to wear that name forever. His name is still Jesus in heaven. That's just how important you are to Him. Never forget, the old song says, the only thing that is in heaven that was made by man are the scars in the hands of Jesus. For He will save His people from their sins. Think how marvelous that statement is. It's like a prophecy. Now think about it. How much more direct prophecy can we get than He shall save His people from their sins and His name will be called Jesus, Savior. How much more direct of a prophecy can we get than that? And I want every one of you to think of it this way. How marvelous is this? Just to think of this. I fulfilled a biblical prophecy. I fulfilled a biblical prophecy when I accepted Jesus as my Savior. Because that's what it is. He will save His people from His sins. All who receive the name of Jesus, think about this. All who receive the name of Jesus are already in it. He saves us. You are in His name. He was named for you. That's what He was named for. You. You are now joined forever because His name is never going to change even in heaven. You're joined with Him forever. And my invitation is simply this. Now live this joining. And you will be a great epistle. And people will read it. And think of it this way. Your life may just lead someone to Jesus. Every one of you can think of people that had a tremendous influence in leading you to Jesus. I go back to people now that are in heaven. I go back to a guy that I just loved. His name was Jim Mabry. And this guy was so full of Jesus, the second he walked into a room, it was like, whoa. And there's been so many others. I think of Tom Pittman, one of the CMA evangelists. He just exuded Jesus. People read you and see you. According to this word, they're supposed to be seeing and reading Jesus. What are they reading in your life? People, this is not a game. Jesus is not something you can take or leave. You take him or you leave him. The scripture's clear on that. You can't serve two masters. And you know what I see? That one of the biggest things, I mentioned it last week, that Jesus saves you from? Yourself. Jesus said it clearly in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, but thine be done. We're not promised we're not going to go through some trials and tribulations. Matter of fact, we're promised the exact opposite. In 2 Timothy, we're told, for all who desire to live a godly life will be persecuted. But people, it's worth it. And the blessings of the persecution far outweigh the persecution.